Today, I want to study about fasting. Before we begin to study, I want to talk just a little bit about the Bible says that this is Yahweh's tabernacle, and the tabernacle means the meeting place. And the tabernacle was so holy in Moses' day that no one was allowed to enter the tabernacle of the people. Nobody went there but the priests. The temple was always a very quiet place. It's peaceful, you know. Whenever I go out in nature and I just hear quietness and peace, it makes me think of Yahweh's presence, because we know he's there too. But try to remember that we are in Yahweh's presence. And Valerie mentioned the story of Moses. When Moses came near the burning bush where Yahweh was, Yahweh told him to take off his shoes because the place he was holy ground. And so we believe that this is a special place. We believe that Yahweh is with us all during the week, but we believe this is his special place that we come to worship him, and he's especially with us here. So take out your Bible when you come in and read a few verses, and just it's a good chance to contemplate and pray and draw near unto Yahweh. Today we want to study about fasting. This is something that some have maybe never really given very much thought to. It's actually, I don't know whether I would put it on a level with a doctrine in the Bible or not, but it's definitely something that we see. Just to lay a little groundwork for that, I'd like to start reading in, let's read in Galatians chapter 5 as we open today, beginning in verse 16. Over the next few weeks, I'm going to study different of the books of the New Testament, because what we see is that the apostles, at each church they were working with, they were giving them advice on how to be edified. And oftentimes the advice they give overlaps what they gave to another one of the churches they were founding. But there are other things that are unique there. Not that everything doesn't apply to everybody, but maybe they were dealing with special things in special places. As Paul spoke to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, he said, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So Paul was telling the people that what we really need today more than anything else is we need an abiding of the Holy Spirit within us. And as we prepare our hearts and minds to receive that, and we take everything out of our life that is objectionable to Yahweh, then the Holy Spirit each day dwells with us in a more and more full manner, and we're able to hear his voice speaking to us better and better each and every day. And that's what we want. And so Paul told them, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. If the Spirit's with us, we should pray for the Spirit each morning before we begin our day. Verse 17, Paul continues, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." So what it tells us is that our flesh is fighting against the Holy Spirit. Our flesh is working against Yahweh's Spirit as it tries to edify us and help us. And so what we want to do is, I look at it like exercise. If you lift weights every day and you only do it with one arm, you will have one arm that's really big. In fact, I went to school with a man that had an arm that was deformed, so he couldn't use it a lot. And his other arm was probably 1.5 to 2 times the size of what everybody else's was, because he always had to use that certain arm. So he had one arm that was great big and one arm that was very small, and it was withered almost. And so that's how the natures are. We've exercised our fleshly desires for many years, and so our flesh becomes strong, and our flesh tends to rule our life. And that's the things that cause us problems and get us in trouble, cause us to sin. So as we begin to fight the war against the flesh, the Holy Spirit is given to us in our minds to help us do that. And each time we put down the flesh and we go with the Spirit, the flesh gets a little weaker. It's like not exercising this arm today and exercising the other arm. The other arm begins to gain strength against it. And the more we do that, eventually we're able to, the Bible says, crucify the flesh. Paul says that, and we're going to read it in a moment. He continues in verse 18, "But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." That means under the condemnation of the law. A person who drives 60 miles an hour out here and a 70 mile an hour speed limit, they don't have to worry about the law. They're not under the condemnation of the law because they're not speeding. So likewise, if we're under the control of the Holy Spirit, we won't sin against Yahweh's law. Verse 19, Paul continues, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest," that means revealed, "which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh." So he lists a lot of things there that our flesh like to do. That's how we've grown up, and as we've served the flesh, that's how we've lived. So he tells us that the people that continue to do those things won't inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. Verse 22, he tells us, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance," and temperance goes along with what we're going to talk about fasting day. Temperance, the Bible says that we should be temperate in all things. That means in all good things we should temper ourselves. You know, we can go overboard on anything, so we want to be temperate in everything we do. It says, "Against such there is no law." So that's why he's saying we're not under the law for doing those things, because there's no law against those things. Now, 24 is the verse I actually came to read, but we wanted to get the background. 24 says, "And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." So it says that if we belong to Yahshua Messiah and we're going to have an entrance into the kingdom of Yahweh, we have to crucify the flesh. And I believe there's none of us today that have completely crucified the flesh. And it'll be very hard to completely crucify the flesh before Yahshua comes and we're translated. But we're supposed to be working every day to crucify the flesh. We're supposed to be choking him down more and more. And the Spirit is supposed to be reigning more and more in our lives. Well, we're thinking on that terms. Let's read Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2. Paul said to the Romans, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yahweh, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Yahweh, which is your reasonable service." In other words, he says, that's what's expected of us, to present our bodies a living sacrifice unto Yahweh. Verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Yahweh." So as we work with the Spirit, he's transforming our minds. He's taking away the old. We don't exercise the carnal side today. We exercise the spiritual side by the power of the Spirit. And the spiritual becomes stronger. And each day it becomes stronger, it becomes easier to resist Satan and overcome him by the power of the Spirit. Let's turn now to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. Yahshua said some words here that we want to think about as we begin to contemplate fasting. Mark chapter 8, beginning in verse 31. "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again." So it wasn't like the disciples had never been told that this was going to happen. He had actually told them ahead of time. He tried to prepare them for it, but their flesh wasn't crucified yet, and they didn't really understand what he was saying. They heard it, but it kind of went over their head. Verse 32, "And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciple, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of Yahweh, but the things that be of men." As long as we live in our carnal, fleshly world, and our desires are that way, we can't really savor the things that be of Yahweh. We don't appreciate Yahweh's things. We instead appreciate the things of men. And I often think of that. Yeshua rebuked Peter to his face, and he called him Satan rather than Peter, because he realized that Satan was working through Peter to try to turn his mind. Verse 34, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's really the verse I came to read today. Fasting has to do with denying ourselves. Our flesh is very strong. It's hard to put down our flesh. The quickest way to bring the flesh into submission is by fasting. As we begin to deny the flesh food, the flesh begins to be broken, and it begins to, you actually will notice after about a day or so, your mind begins to get very clear. You're able to think really well. It just, your body begins to go into a state of submission, I would say, to the Spirit. It begins to actually calm us. And we're going to read some verses here in a minute that show how long people fasted in the Bible. Of course, we're all familiar with Yeshua fasting 40 days and 40 nights. That's the longest fast that's recorded. I just read on the news a couple weeks ago about a man that died in another country that was on a hunger strike, and I think he was at about 70 days before he actually died. So, you know, a few days of fasting isn't going to hurt any of us. It's actually very good for us. So Yeshua told us that we should take up our cross and deny our flesh and follow him. And so as we prepare to fast, that's really what we're preparing to do. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 15 now. Fasting's not considered to be a pleasure by people today, so it's kind of been overlooked. But fasting is very important to us. In Matthew 15 and verse 32, this is the story of the Sermon on the Mount. The people had been out there with Yeshua, and they had actually been there 3 days. They'd had nothing to eat. Nobody went home at night. They stayed right out there on the mountain with him. He spoke to them all day. They went to sleep. He spoke to them all day the next day. They went to sleep. He spoke to them all day the third day. And we find the words here in Matthew 5 and verse, or 15 and verse 32. It says, Then Yeshua called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have continued with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. Of course, the disciples immediately began to say to him, Well, where would we get food out here for 5,000 people, Lord? Because they were way out in the wilderness, you know. But this shows these people were so getting so much blessing out of hearing Yeshua speak that they had been there 3 days and missed their food. They'd been there 3 days. And lest anyone wonder if that could be a typo or this person recorded incorrectly, the same thing is recorded in Mark chapter 8. We'll read that also. Mark chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, it says, In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Yeshua called unto his disciples unto him and said unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their houses, they will faint by the way, for many of them came from far. And of course, his disciples began to say, well, where are we going to get food for all these people? But these people had actually fasted 3 days with Yeshua. They had been out there on the mountain listening and studying with him for 3 days. Our next example of fasting is found in Acts chapter 27. You all know the story of Paul's shipwreck. They had been in the ocean there for days, and the ocean had been contrary to them. The people there were not fasting for the reason we would fast, but they were probably too scared to eat, so they were had their mind on other things. But the Bible records for us in Acts 27 and verse 33 that after the angel came and talked to Paul, Paul came out to them. In verse 33 says, While the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. So the people had been on the ship with Paul for 14 days. That's two complete weeks. Nobody had eaten anything. They were just hanging onto this ship and hoping they could stay alive. You know, nobody was thinking about eating. So this, I'm reading you these so it shows us we're not going to fast out of fear, but it shows us that the body, you know, some people think, well, you can only go 2 or 3 days without eating and you're liable to die or something's going to happen to you, but that's really not true. These people had been 14 days and Paul is talking to them about eating. Now we find in the book of Daniel, and we don't know that Daniel was on a complete fast, but Daniel chapter 10 in verses 1 it says, in the 3rd year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing, and had understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. So Daniel had been on some kind of a fast for 3 full weeks, and it was after that time that the angel was sent to speak to him. And we find other references in the Bible to people fasting to get an answer from Yahweh. In fact, I was struck here just recently by a video that I watched about the prison system in Romania. There was a lady there. The communists were in control of that, and of course the communists are very against religion, and there was no work in the prisons as far as religious work. In fact, probably nobody had ever even tried to, but this one lady decided there needed to be work in the prisons, and she began to fast, and she went down to the communist headquarters for the prisons there, and she asked to speak to one of the generals that ran the prisons, and they told her to go away, you know. Ask her what she wanted, and she told them, and they said, go away, you know, there's no work in the prisons. And she fasted for 7 days, and it actually sounded like she slept there on the steps of this building. And on the 7th day, one of the generals came, and he pulled up in his car there, and he saw the lady, and he said to them, what's that lady doing? It was very early in the morning, and they said, well, she wants to talk to someone here about religious work starting in the prisons. And they kind of were probably embarrassed to tell the general, but anyway, the general said, well, bring her in, I want to talk to her. And she went in to the general, and she told him what she thought the prisoners needed in the prisons, and he said, go get your pastor. And so she went and told the pastor of the church, and the pastor was kind of almost scared, because I think he said he had actually been a prisoner of the communists. And so he fasted himself and went down there, and a great work was opened up in the prison, so that everybody in all of the prisons has been preached to, and the church has a great work there in the prisons, and they were able to distribute books and all kinds of things. So Yahweh does all kinds of things, and we have examples in the Bible of people fasting to receive answers from Yahweh. Now, we're not guaranteed that by fasting we're going to, but it's a sign of denying ourselves and drawing out our soul after Yahweh. Of course, the most famous fast is found in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1, this was right after the baptism of Yahshua. In chapter 3, he was baptized. They heard the voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And then in chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, then was Yahshua led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. So the Bible tells us that Yahshua fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He ate nothing. You see, I believe that Adam and Eve failed the test on the test of appetite. Satan knew how to come to Adam and Eve. I believe our appetite is our most powerful urge. Now, appetite, we have different appetites, but our appetite for food is one appetite, and we have appetites for other things also. But Satan realized that that was the place he would attempt to get Adam and Eve to sin, and he did. He lured them through looking at this fruit and thinking about how good it was, the Bible says. And so Yahshua began his testing on the very point that Adam and Eve fell on. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and then Satan came and tempted him. So this tells us that fasting is very important. We have some other examples in the Bible. The book of Jonah tells us in Jonah chapter 3, these people weren't worshipers of Yahweh, but you know the story. Jonah was sent to preach unto them, and he came and preached unto them, and the city actually took him seriously. This was a huge city. In fact, I believe it says it was over 100,000 people in the city of Nineveh. Jonah chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "The word of Yahweh came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise and go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of Yahweh. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey." In other words, it took you 3 days to pass through the city. It was a big city. "And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed Yahweh and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them unto the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water." Now, in this case, it was kind of a very rigid fast. I don't believe in not drinking water when you fast. I believe that you abstain from food and drink water. I've fasted both ways. You can't fast very long without drinking water, and your mind is not very clear when you're not having water or food. But when you take away just the food and you drink water as you fast, your mind is very clear and you can go for a long time. But they actually proclaimed a fast of not food or water. It says in verse 8, "But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto Yahweh. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if Yahweh will turn and repent or change his mind and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And Yahweh saw their works and turned from their evil way. And Yahweh repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not." So we find an example here of fasting, where they fasted to get Yahweh to reconsider what he was doing. Yahweh does look at us as we fast. He thinks about that. Joel chapter 2, another one of the minor prophets here. Joel chapter 2 and verses 12 and 13. It says, "Therefore also now saith Yahweh, Turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto Yahweh your mighty one, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him?" So Yahweh actually commanded the people in Joel's day to fast, to mourn, to weep, to actually draw out their soul to him, to think about what was going on. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts chapter 10 and verse 30 that Cornelius was actually fasting. When Peter got to Cornelius to talk to Cornelius, and he said, you know, why am I here? Peter was a little unsure. You know, Yahweh had to give him the vision of the unclean things coming down and everything, and to get him to even be in a frame of mind to be willing to go and see these people. And in verse 30, Cornelius answers, Acts 10:30. Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting unto this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thy alms are had in remembrance in the sight of Yahweh. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee." So Cornelius was fasting. Cornelius was looking for an answer. He was seeking knowledge from Yahweh, and he was fasting. And as a result of his fasting, the angel was sent to tell him to send and inquire for Simon to come and talk to him. We also find in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 3 that Daniel began to pray and fast to receive information from Yahweh, and the Bible tells us that he did receive that information. Daniel chapter 9, we'll begin reading in verse 1. It says, "In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of Yahweh came to Jeremiah the prophet, that Yahweh would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem." Daniel read this year the scroll of Jeremiah, and he realized that Jeremiah had been told by Yahweh that there was going to be 70 years of time go by with Jerusalem destroyed, and at the end of that time, the Israelites would be allowed to return to their land. And Daniel realized that time was just about up. And he says in verse 3, "And I set my face unto Yahweh to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto Yahweh my mighty one and made my confession and said, O Yahweh, the great and awesome God, keeping the covenant and the mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Yahweh, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces as at this day, to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Yahweh, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To Yahweh our mighty one belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of Yahweh to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of Yahweh, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil, for unto the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before Yahweh, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath Yahweh watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For Yahweh our mighty one is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Yahweh our mighty one, that hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown as at this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Yahweh, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thy anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem and thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O Yahweh, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplication, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for Yahweh's sake. O Yahweh, incline thy ear and hear. Open thy eyes and behold our desolations in the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Yahweh, hear. O Yahweh, forgive. O Yahweh, hearken and do. Defer not for thy own sake, O Yahweh, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing the sin, my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before Yahweh for the holy mountain of Yahweh. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. So Daniel, we don't know how long he had fasted. I'm sure he didn't fast for a few hours or one day. But he had fasted for a period of time, and he prayed this beautiful prayer, and he confessed his sins, and he confessed the sins of his people in Israel. And at the end of his prayer, the angel Gabriel reached out and touched him and began to speak to him and gave him the answer and gave us the beautiful prophecy about the 70 weeks or the 490 years till Yahshua would come. So we have examples in the Bible of people praying and fasting and Yahweh giving us answers as we do that. So prayer and fasting is a good thing for us to do. We find the story of the young man in Mark chapter 9 whom the disciples were unable to cast the devil out of. Now you remember it says Yahshua sent them out on their first time when he sent out the 70 disciples two by two. He sent out 35 pairs of the disciples. And when they returned with joy and they said, even the devils are subject unto us. They didn't meet any devils on that trip that they could not cast out. But the Bible records the story in Mark chapter 9 beginning in verse 14. It says, and when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning, that means arguing with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Now remember, they had been given power over the demons, and on their first trip they had cast out the demons, and they had no problem with them. But at this point in time, they were unable to cast out this demon. I'm sure it was embarrassing to them. I think it had to do with the fact that they hadn't fully crucified the flesh. They had a pride problem, and this was sent to them to show them what they needed to do, because Yahshua wasn't going to be with them too much longer. Verse 19, Yahshua answered and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. This would have been something to see. Can you imagine if this young man was brought to Yahshua and somehow it says the spirit tear him. He began to go into convulsions and he was foaming at the mouth and wallowing on the ground there in front of Yahshua. And it must have been slightly scary to the disciples that they had been unable to cast this demon out, but they had not been able to. Verse 21, and Yahshua asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. This little boy had been tormented by this demon for years. Verse 22, and oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Almost makes me cry to think of the man. His little boy had been like this for years. 23, Yahshua said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. He believed or he wouldn't have brought the boy where he had brought him to, but he was probably kind of wondering after the disciples failed. Verse 25, and when Yahshua saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. The spirit rent him so bad when he came out of him, you know, the convulsions he went through, and then he was just lying there, and the people said, the boy is dead. Verse 27, but Yahshua took him by the hand and then lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto him, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. So the disciples really weren't where they needed to be in their spiritual walk. And they had spent a long time with Yahshua, but they still weren't where they needed to be spiritually. And so they were unable to cast out this devil out of this little boy. And Yahshua told them, this kind is only going to come out by prayer and fasting. In other words, you were unable to do it because you weren't prepared. Paul, we know, is given great power by Yahweh. And Paul is telling us here all the things that he went through. And one of the things that he mentions is that he said he fasts often. 2 Corinthians 11:27. He's listing all the things that he's gone through. And he says in verse 27, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. So Paul's testimony to us is that Paul fasted often. He did a lot of fasting. Fasting is actually very good for us. It's very good for us. And Paul says he fasted a lot. You know, it's easy to fast if you eat supper in the evening. You don't want to allow yourself to eat anything in the morning, because once you begin your stomach working, it's very hard to not eat. You'll feel very hungry. But it's easy to eat a light supper in the evening and then not eat in the morning, and to go the next day and not eat till evening is very easy, and you'll find your mind is very clear the next day. It's good to do that often. It's good at times to do a more lengthy fast to actually break down our flesh. As we break down our flesh, we're able to better enter into Yahweh's presence and appreciate what Yahweh is trying to do for us. Yahshua intended for the disciples to fast because he told them here that when they fast, he didn't want them to be like the hypocrites. Some people fast and they want the world to know they're fasting. It's like some kind of a sign, and they're proud of it that they are fasting. Matthew 6:1 says, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. It means give your offerings. He says, don't give your offerings to be seen of men. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thy alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. It's kind of hard for us today to believe that the people got so bad that they actually sounded a horn when they put their money in, but we know that was actually going on in Yahshua's day at the temple. We know that people knew what other people gave, which is never appropriate, because we have the story of the widow with the mite, and the disciples said to Yahshua, you know, look at all that money people are putting in. I mean, there's some of them putting big bags of money into the thing. And the widow came up there, and she was kind of embarrassed, and she put something in there, and it was just a little bit. And Yahshua told the disciples that she had given more than the others because they gave a little bit of their great riches, but she had given all she had. So we know this was actually going on, so he's telling us that we're not to seek glory before men, because if we do that, our heart is wrong, and we have no reward with the Father. In fact, more than just not having a reward, we don't belong to the Father if we're full of pride and arrogance and we want to be seen by men. Verse 3 continues, but when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to stand praying in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. That would rule out today all of the Hail Marys and things that are said on earth. The Catholic Church has all of these prayers that they tell people to say over and over. If Mary wasn't asleep, if she was alive, she would be very tired of hearing the same prayer anyway. But we know she's not even hearing them. But the heathen prayed using vain repetitions. Yahweh says when we pray to him, he wants us to think about what we're saying to him. He wants to mentally engage us when we're praying to him. He's talking to us. The Spirit, it says, is making utterance that we can't even hear. The Spirit is asking for things, and the Spirit's putting on our minds what we need to ask for. And he said, don't be like the heathen who use vain repetitions. They say the same things over and over and over. So he told us not to be like that because there's no reward there. Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Yahweh doesn't really need us to pray to him and tell him the things we need, because he already knows what we need beforehand. It's just exercise in growing closer to him. He wants us to draw closer and closer to him. And so as we do that, that's why we're praying. That's why we're fasting. Verse 9, after this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our top prayer is supposed to be that Yahweh's name is honored here on earth. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. We want his kingdom to come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. We're not supposed to pray for millions of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars. We're supposed to pray for the things we need today. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The Holy Spirit, if he's actually running our mind, he can avoid us getting ourselves into temptation. If he's leading us, he can lead us around it. He can help us out. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Verse 14, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So it tells us here that the priests don't forgive any of our sins for us. The Father forgives our sins. And it's very important that we, as we're working towards the day of Pentecost here, we make sure that we've forgiven everyone in our mind who's ever wronged us. Because if we're holding any grudges or we have animosity towards someone, the Bible says that Yahweh, his Spirit can't dwell within us. We can't have peace. I've known people that held grudges for years, and the only thing they did is destroy themselves. The people who had done evil to them, they were off living their life, happy, not even thinking about the person. And the person that's holding all that bitterness and anguish inside them, they're destroying themselves, but they're not, they don't realize it. But the Bible says that the Father doesn't even forgive us. Verse 16 says, Moreover, then when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So the hypocrites fasted, and as they walked down the street during the day, they had an awful look on their face, so people would say, What's wrong? And they could say, Well, I've fasted for 3 days now. You know, they were trying to have honor of men, but Yahweh says when we fast that we're supposed to wash our face, comb our hair, and go about our business. And we're blessed by Yahweh, but we're not supposed to appear unto men to fast. Fasting is not something to be bragged about. Well, I've fasted for this many days or that many days. You know, if we have that spirit, we have totally the wrong spirit. Fasting is a personal thing to draw us near to Yahweh. I'm going to close today with Isaiah chapter 58. The people in Isaiah's day were fasting. They realized that fasting was a way to draw near unto Yahweh. They were fasting for the wrong reasons, the Bible says. We want to read this as we close. Isaiah 58, beginning in verse 1, it says, Cry aloud, spare not, Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. So the Bible tells us that we're supposed to, if we see someone doing something wrong, we're supposed to tell them. We're not supposed to hide it. We're supposed to help them understand it. We're supposed to denounce evil so that men can turn from it and avoid the wrath and destruction to come. Verse 2, Yahweh says, yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinances of their mighty one. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching unto Yahweh. So it says they take delight in approaching unto them, and he tells us immediately then one of the ways they approach unto him in verse 3. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Fasting, now we might fast today and we might continue working as we fast, but fasting sometimes is a special spiritual thing where we take some time off from what we're doing and we fast so we can spend more time with Yahweh. And it says these people found pleasure in their fast. They fasted, but they were out doing pleasure and things. Daniel said he was fasting with weeping and sackcloth and mourning, that he was trying to pray and come closer to Yahweh. These people were doing it differently. Verse 4, behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. It says here they were fasting for strife and debate, meaning they were actually telling others how long they fasted. Well, I fasted 30 days, so I have more wisdom from Yahweh. I have better understanding. They actually were in arguments of this type, you know. So Yahweh wasn't there with them. It was a vain fasting they were doing. It did them no good. Now it indicates that they thought, it says, Yahweh said, you won't make your voice be heard on high by what you're doing. So the contrary to that, if we're truly fasting, it is a way of pressing our petitions to Yahweh's throne to bring our things before him if we're fasting properly. Verse 5, he says, is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to Yahweh? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh. Of course, in Yeshua's day, they didn't take care of their parents, he said. They hid themselves from their own flesh. So he tells us that actually more than fasting, he desires that we do good for other people. Fasting is important, but he's telling us that the way these people were fasting was no good at all. He said, instead of fasting, you have all this wickedness. Go straighten out the wickedness and then come and fast, is what he was telling them. He told us if we do the things he wants, verse 8, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of Yahweh shall be thy rear guard. And thou shalt call, and Yahweh shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, pointing the finger, if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness shall be as the noonday. Wouldn't you like it if the worst darkness you were ever in was like noon? As he's saying, you'll never have problems. If we do what Yahweh wants us to do, he'll straighten things out for us. We should say we'll never have problems that'll get us down. We'll always have problems because Satan is always going to bring things to us. But Yahweh is telling us that if we're doing what's right and we're helping those around us and we're coming before him as he wants us to, he'll make everything good for us. Verse 11 says, Yahweh shall guide thee continually. Isn't that what we all want? Guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be as a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. That's a really beautiful promise. If we are that blessed of Yahweh, yeah, that's blessings beyond measure. Verse 12, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. So he says, if we do all those things, we'll be the ones that correct the problems that are here on earth. We'll help the people get back where they need to be. Verse 13, he gives us a little bit of insight on how we should keep our Sabbaths also. He says, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of Yahweh, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thy own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. So he tells us there that we're supposed to turn away our foot from his Sabbath. We're not supposed to trample on the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day is a special day. From Friday night when the sun sets till Sabbath when the sun sets, that's Yahweh's day. We're supposed to spend that day not thinking our own thoughts, not thinking about business or work, not watching television, not listening to things that aren't godly. We're supposed to spend that time drawing near unto Yahweh. We're not supposed to speak our own words on his Sabbath at all. Then shalt thou delight thyself in Yahweh, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of Yahweh hath spoken it. Now we do understand that he wants us to enjoy the Sabbath. There's nothing wrong with going for a nice walk in the park on the Sabbath to enjoy the things that Yahweh's made, but it's not a day that people would go play golf on or go to the amusement park, do their own things, you know. The Sabbath is supposed to be a day that we draw near unto Yahweh. I seldom do anything like this, but I'm going to challenge you. We're all a church family, and we all need to be collectively drawing closer to Yahweh. That will help us draw closer to each other. And I'm going to challenge you that this next week you fast a few days with me. I'm going to eat till Sunday evening. I'm going to have supper. And then I'm going to fast till next Sabbath when we come to church. And I know any of you can do 3 or 4 days very easily. You know, we may have to let up a little bit on the work schedule, but I've fasted several days before and worked every day and didn't really bother me. So, you know, it's we won't do heavy things, but I just encourage you. I don't want anybody to ask anybody else if they're fasting, but I encourage you to do that. It's good for us. We're in this special time when we're drawing near unto Yahweh, and he wants us to draw out our souls to him. It's a good time to really search our hearts. You know, the Day of Atonement, there was only one day of the year that Yahweh commanded men to fast that is mandatory, and that's the Day of Atonement. Because the Day of Atonement is the most serious day of the whole year. If your sins weren't forgiven on the Day of Atonement, you were destroyed. And we know that the Day of Atonement, the Bible shows us it in the book of Revelation. The Day of Atonement is taking place in heaven. When Yahshua finishes the Day of Atonement, he is our high priest, is there today making intercession for us. And the Bible says when he leaves the temple there, that the censer will be cast down to the earth, and there are lightnings and thunders and voices. When that censer is cast down, there will never be another sin forgiven. Just like on the Day of Atonement, if your sins weren't forgiven, you were destroyed. And so he gave them the command to fast on the Day of Atonement to afflict their souls and really think about their life, where they stood before Yahweh. And I encourage you to think about that today, because we really need to make sure that we're right with Yahweh so we can receive the refreshing. In fact, the apostles talked to the people about it so that they could receive the refreshing when it came. Because I believe the refreshing is soon to come, and we're going to be blessed by it. So I encourage you to think about that, pray about it. I've just showed you examples of people who stayed 3 days out on the mountain with Yahshua. They fasted for 3 days. They were out in the elements day and night. No problem. We've showed you the men with Paul up on the ship that fasted for 2 full weeks. That's a long time. 2 full weeks. And we've seen Daniel's fast for 21 days. And, of course, Yeshua fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And actually, we have another one I missed. I didn't mention. The Bible tells us that the prophet Elijah, after he had the showdown with Ahab at Mount Carmel, that Elijah went for 40 days and 40 nights without eating as he traveled unto the mountain of Yahweh, or Mount Sinai, when he went down there. So he's another example of a human being that fasted for 40 days and 40 nights as he traveled down to the mountain of Yahweh. And the Bible tells us when he arrived there at the mountain of Yahweh that Yahweh spoke to him. He heard Yahweh's voice. So, like I said, we're not going to ask anybody if they're fasting, but I encourage you to take some time and fast. It's very good. And once again, like I mentioned, it's only a fast from food. There are people that teach you don't drink anything either, but we drink water. As the water's going in and it's washing things out of you, and it gives your whole digestive system a break. You know, our bodies are really overworked. In fact, the people who live the longest on earth are people who live in countries where they barely have enough food to eat. They are not like us. We have an overabundance here. They barely have enough, so their bodies aren't worn out. You know, we are actually wearing our bodies out with the amount of food we eat. We don't realize it. But anyway, I just encourage everybody to think about that, because we're trying to really break down our flesh. I'll tell you what, it does help you in getting the flesh under control, I guarantee you. As you don't feed it, the flesh becomes weaker. It takes a little longer to think. For those of us that are quick with the tongue, it'll give you a chance to not say things quite as soon, you know. It takes a little bit longer to think. Think a minute before you speak, yeah. That'll be good for me. I'm going to close with Aaron's benediction. It's found in Numbers chapter 6 and verse 22. In fact, Yahweh told them they were to give this blessing to the people each time they departed. I used to do this, and I changed up my format a little bit, and we used to sing a song at the end and different things, and I kind of got out of the habit, but I've been impressed recently that we should. Numbers chapter 6 and verse 22, it says, Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise shall ye bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, Yahweh bless thee and keep thee. Yahweh make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy great name. We thank you for your many blessings to us, Father. We ask that you forgive us of our sins and bless us and guide us. Send your Holy Spirit to be with us. Put it in our minds, Father, and lead us and guide us and teach us that which you'd have us to do. Help us to be ready to go home with you, Father, and especially help us to be ready to receive the refreshing that you're soon to send to this earth to finish your work. In Yahshua's holy name, we ask thy guidance and blessing for all. Thy will be done, Almighty Father. Amen.